It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Dynasty Podcasts, Haima Black here in Pilsen, Dynasty HQ. We're back for another week. Coming up here, we're almost at our 13-year anniversary on this podcast. At the end of this month, we'll be celebrating 13 years. So we're just keeping it going with new conversations, with new guests we have never talked to before. And tonight, I am joined by two talents from Chicago. We have UG Vavy, Skinny Hendrix, joining me here tonight. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, man.
Bowling.
Yeah. First off, thank you guys for coming up, and thank you. We had some miscommunication initially about like where the podcast was, and so when you guys got here, so there was like some reconfiguration of the stream, and like that set things back. So I'm appreciative that we were able to get this going, and you guys hung out for a little bit, and we just talked a bunch of stuff about like comics and all sorts of things.
Yeah,
so thanks for coming up and hanging out.
Thank you for having me, man.
This Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
So how are you guys doing tonight?
I'm good. Taking it all in. It's an off day, so, you know, enjoying it.
Yeah. How's the summer been treating you guys?
Pretty good. It's a good summer. Yeah. Really busy, though.
Hot as hell, too.
Super hot. Just nonstop hot. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So with this podcast, especially when we have people on for the first time, we always kind of start at the beginning. So I would love to know how music entered each of your lives, how this became a thing that each of you are doing.
Cool.
Man, you got to kick it off.
All right. So music, you know, my parents, like growing up, that's what they played nonstop, of course, from anywhere from rap, reggae, R&B, all type of stuff like that. I think I became really aware of music, though, when I became, what happened? I remember.
That fat bitch tried to hit your line. And she was like, spit that shit for you.
I really became aware of music when, I think I was riding in my dad's new car. He got a Camry or whatever. Ooh. And then he was playing Doggy Style.
Oh, my God. It's a classic record.
Yeah. But I remember, like, the very beginning interlude with the bathtub or whatever.
It's called Bathtub.
It's called Bathtub, yeah. So it really, like, as a kid, I'm like, damn, I never heard nothing like this. And then it was hella profanity. It was crazy. Wasn't supposed to listen to that type of stuff at that age. I think I was about, like, 5.
Oh, my God.
But I think that kind of just intrigued me. And I was like, oh, damn. And I ended up stealing that same CD from my dad, so...
I was going to say, that's a mature record for a 5-year-old.
Oh, yeah, facts. But my dad, he was just a different breed, so he just didn't care. He was like, I'm going to listen to my music, and you're going to take it in. And I didn't complain. I'm like, I don't hear this when I'm with my mom. So, yeah, I think that's when I really became, like, aware of music. But it's been in my life ever since, just, you know, from reggae music. My uncle used to have this tape by a guy named Mobe One. He's like a big DJ in like the Caribbean type of music and stuff like that. And it was just a mix of all type of reggae songs from like Wayne Wonder to Boo Banton to all type of stuff. I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name right. But
it's about the confidence, bro.
Yeah. You know. But yeah. Ever since then I've been hooked, you know. Haven't gone a day without it. So yeah.
What about you? She said. But nah, man. For me, though, like, kind of similar. I was in the backseat of his dad's car with him.
Also heard Doggy Style, and you're like, me too. Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
I heard an Usher CD, and it was like, damn, that's fire. But nah.
He's in a trunk.
For me, I was just like, because I started off just like being like a super, like, you know, every kid, you kind of like, unless you just like a latchkey kid, you pretty much, your parents are making a lot of your decisions and shit.
Or
kind of like the source of like what you're kind of like getting like kind of like around, you know. And so my mom was playing like obviously like 90s R&B because it's the 90s, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And which like I think kind of like made me appreciate melody and just like this earworm, just like those type of things that get stuck in your mind. But my older brother, he's like 8 years older than me, so he was already like, mind you, at this time I'm wearing like sweaters and like my pants are flooding. My brother used to be like, bro, pull your pants down, like you just like you just need to like kind of assert yourself. And with him just doing something as simple as telling me to think for myself, I started like finding my own shit. And I was watching like Hey Arnold as a shorty, and just like the jazz of it, like that was like a Nickelodeon's cartoon. But just the jazz of it just like really just like kind of caught to me, and it made me just kind of like want to just get used to like those type creating those type of sounds for myself.
Right.
Yeah. So I probably blame Hey Arnold.
And so how that's a, I think I've asked this question a lot on the podcast, and I think it's the first time somebody has credited Hey Arnold for their musical inclination.
That's what it's about, man.
Yeah.
So how did each of you go from discovering, you know, respectively, Doggy Style and Hey Arnold, those two things not often in a sentence together,
right?
But, you know, discovering those original inspirations, how did that go from you each becoming artists yourselves?
So with me, originally I didn't want to rap. Like, I wanted to be the background guy, just making... So I started making beats, and that's because, like, I think at about, like, seventh grade or something like that, my cousins had moved away. So that's who I spent a lot of my time with. And I was on YouTube, you know, just browsing through stuff, looking at different visuals and stuff like that. And I came across Just Blaze making beats on an MPC. And I'm like, damn, this is cold. Like, I think... It was some crazy sample that he flipped. And I was like, man, this is real cool. I want to do this type of thing. So what happened was that I stole FL Studios. I'm sorry, Image Line, but I had to steal FL Studios. And then basically from there, I was making beats. Now, my beats when I first started were completely trash, but I worked at it every day. And then I came across this website called warbeats.com. And it was a guy, he wasn't the best at making beats, but he basically taught you, like, the basics of how to produce, you know what I mean? Gave you music theory, all type of stuff like that, how to sample, how to use different things.
All the fundamentals.
The fundamentals.
Yeah.
So then after that, I just started, my beats went from everything, the violin, the synth, everything playing one pattern. It started to switch up as I started doing it more and more. And then what really inspired me to start rapping was actually Emil, because, you know, we was in class and I was freestyling. And he was like, yo, bro, you should rap. Like, we constantly just freestyle back and forth.
Up, man.
So he was like, man, you should rap. And then me, I was thinking to myself, like, how can I rap? Like, the rap that I listen to, nobody does. Like, I don't do what they do. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the music I listen to was Lil Wayne, 50 Cent.
Sure.
Cam'ron, you know, Gucci, stuff like that.
Well, and that was all the, like, that was kind of before anybody could really upload their own sounds to SoundCloud and stuff.
Right.
Like, 'cause that was all, right. I mean, all that stuff was the corporate, and I'm not knocking any of those artists, but it was all the, like, major label radio rap.
Oh, facts. Yeah. So they really controlled the image of what music was at that time. And I'm like, man, I don't kill people. I don't shoot people. I don't sell drugs. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And to be
like,
fair, most of them didn't either.
Right. Facts.
And but we can't speak on what Killer Cam does or don't do.
Right. But, you know, just basically I was like, man, I don't fit the criteria. But then, you know, when he told me to rap, and then also I was big on Kanye, you know, from sampling and all that type
of
stuff.
And he's a Chicago kid who also started making his samples, and yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And I was like, he don't talk about none of that, but he still has a lane. And I was like, all right, I gotta get this a shot, you know what I'm saying? So that's when I started dipping and dabbing in music, and then yeah, the rest is history.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
why do you, Emil?
I definitely feel like it comes from like that mentality. Like, at least for me, that first start was like, because I started off just wanting to draw like Dragon Ball Z pictures or Power Rangers, whatever the fuck I saw.
Sure,
that,
everybody
that, like,
did.
Popped up in my head. And like, man, like, you can low key become like that nigga in school if you knew how to draw Dragon Ball Z, like, at a young age, like, especially if you knew about it. But yeah, so, like, with that, though, I just wanted to be an artist in general. That's what, like, I remember, like, in third grade, like, I wrote, that's what I want, just be an artist. And then I didn't think about that, like, at the time, that was only consistent of drawing lines and color. And as I got older, I found out that was, like, I can use my voice as, like, the main
instrument. As an
artistic
instrument.
Tool.
Yeah.
Instrument. Yeah.
And so with that, that's pretty much, like, how I kind of found my voice within, like, just the world around me. Because at first, I didn't know what the fuck a 16 was. Or, like,
right.
I was just filling up pages with words. You know what I'm saying?
And Barring
like,
down.
Yeah, just, like, and making sure they rhyme. And it kind of be like a slash to indicate that this is a different bar. But pretty much just fat-ass paragraphs of words that rhyme and shit. Until I just, like... And at this point, wasn't even thinking about, like, really just putting them over beats. Just wanting to, like, get the words out of my head. You know?
Yeah, and just put it out and express yourself. Well, yeah, I'm looking, facts. Like, as you were talking, I saw your arm. You got a Napster tattoo, it looks like.
Yes.
Yeah. You got a Mario tattoo. Did you design those, or like?
Well, this is actually Mario based off Bape, like the Bape. That's the Bape monkey behind him.
Okay.
Napster, though, it was like, all right. So, it, like, 2010 is when I started getting tattoos and shit. But, like, at this point, though, my mom doesn't know I have tattoos. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a lot of them are hidden. You know what I mean? So, like, they was like shit on my chest or like my side, shit to like really hide it. And then, like, when I turned 18, my mom was like, she was like, all right, for sure. I don't care no more. You can get a tattoo. So I went and got, like, some stars behind my ear just to be like, Mom, I got my first tattoo.
I did it, right.
And then
I
showed her the other ones later, like, they're brand new.
Oh, my baby.
And then, like, yeah, so, like, when I started, like, So with the Napster tat, though, I was like, man, so I really feel like Hispanic people or, like, white people, like, you know what I'm saying? They tattoos just come off so colorful. Like, you can get, like, a bright red. You can have a fucking dragon underwater smoking a blunt.
with a koi fish.
How did you know that that's my back tattoo?
With a koi fish. Damn. I just sensed it. You know what I'm saying? Spirit animal. But, like, with black people, I feel like all we get is, like, black and green, like, dark color-ass tattoos and shit. Like, and most of the time, you can't even see them after a certain age.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, Kanye got tattoos that we never seen.
Facts. It's like LeBron's tattoos.
Never seen the motherfuckers.
Like, they there in spirit, but you can't see them.
The lightest you can be is, like, low-key J.R. Smith. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's the lightest you can be at this point and still, like, have tattoos and shit. But, like, yeah, so I got the NAFTA tattoo with the intent of, like, just having, like, actual green and blue. I'm like,
well, and it looks good. Like, I noticed it right there because as I'm looking at you, like, that's exactly where the angle is. But, like, as someone who grew up on Napster, I was holy shit, I haven't seen one of those in a minute. Yeah, yeah. Have you seen the, and then we're going to circle this back to you guys, but have you seen the Napster documentary?
No.
So does the dude actually have the charisma that Justin Timberlake had when he played him in the social network?
No. They were just two super dorky computer nerds. And, like, and this is before computer nerds was, like, really cool.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, well, there's a Napster documentary. It's called Downloaded. Mm. It's by Alex.
Netflix?
I don't think it's on Netflix. I think you might have to, like, pay YouTube $2 to watch it on YouTube or whatever.
Right.
But it's good. It is this incredible document of, like, what the internet and music was like at the turn of the millennium. Mm. And it's amazing to see how many musicians, and it's all the musicians you would think are total badass, like, countercultural icons.
Were
like, oh, no, I don't like the internet. That steals from artists. Like, Eminem, Trent Reznor, Metallica, Dr. Dre, Snoop. Yeah. Everybody who was, like, you were like, wait, I thought you were supposed to be, like, a total badass. Like, and now you're like, wait, you know, Eminem being
too.
Like, wait, you're breaking the rules. You're
I steal
like,
music,
what?
Too.
Nah, they don't want you to.
Look. Don't steal mine, though.
Right.
I steal music,
then, like,
don't steal mine.
And then suddenly you have David Bowie, and this is all footage from 1998, 1999. You have David Bowie come on, and he's like, oh, this is wonderful. I love that this is the future. And you're like,
right.
Of course, David Bowie was the one guy in this who was like, yes, internet is great, and this is how things should be. And then everyone else who you thought was, like, a total, you know, either on the rock side, like, this badass, satanic, evil motherfucker, or on the rap side, like, these stone-cold killers, all these guys were like, oh, no, please don't steal from us.
You know, at that point, though, like, they was, like, you was actually making money from the music industry.
Oh, you're making
though.
So much money. It was the end of it.
They didn't want any of that. Same with, like, movie piracy. You
right.
know what I mean? And that's why there was this really cool interview from that Ben Affleck and someone else. It was two other guys with him.
I saw that going around on Twitter.
Exactly.
And he predicted, like, Netflix.
He broke down Netflix, Spotify, pretty much streaming in
But,
general.
Like, 10 years before it.
Bro, what's up with regular confidence? Like, and this, like, broke down, like, the algorithms and, like, all the trajectory of reasons why streaming is the
main
thing.
Subscribe to video and see your movies
shit
that way.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
If he'd asked Smart 10 years ago, how the fuck you do Justice League?
Yeah.
How was he not smart enough to avoid that bullshit? I never understand it.
That could be a whole different discussion of what happened to Ben Affleck. Yeah. So, so in the present day, what are each of you working on? I know you have new music in the works, but what's going on with each of you individually right now in the present?
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I got a tape basically I've been working on for a while. I actually got a shit ton of music. I just never had the time to put it out.
And the tape is going to be called Inferno, right?
It's going to be called Inferno, basically. So I don't know if you passed by the East Room recently, but I got a fat-ass mural put in the front of there.
Okay,
right across from Emporium, right where the ATM machine is. And then also on the murals on Hubbard, I got another fat-ass mural right there, too.
So
less fatter ass.
Yeah. So basically, I've been working on a tape called Inferno, just trying to be consistent, give more music to the people and stuff like that.
But bring me into this because, like, I want to touch on a couple of those things. But A, let's just start with the murals. How did those murals come together? Because, like, especially East Room, we're like, okay, so I teach at Columbia College. Every single, quote unquote, young person, right? Like, I'm in my 30s, so they're young people. Every young person, that is the number one place they go to. When I hear them talking outside of class, when I hear them talking in class, they're like talking about East Room. I see them on Twitter, whatever, they're talking about East Room. And I mean, like, I know those guys, like Zach Eastman, all those guys who opened it. So, like, I'm not like an old
go
person
ahead,
being
pick
like.
Pick up them names you dropping. You
know, is Zach Eastman a name to drop? I like Zach Eastman. Like, but my point is, I'm not like an old person being like, I've heard of East Room. Like, I've gone to East Room like everybody, but this is what I'm getting at. East Room is prime real estate. That is like the hub of like music culture in the city right now. That's where everyone goes. So how do you land a destination like East Room for your mural? Because that is just, you couldn't have asked for a better destination.
So honestly, I'm going to be completely honest with you, full disclosure.
Said that perfectly.
It's the homie Jake Merton. His name is Look At Art, at Look At Art. Mm-hmm. Check him out. So basically, you know, we hit him up online, and I was like, yo, I see you do, you know, graffiti, you know what I'm saying, real big, like big projects or whatever. And I was like, it'd be dope if he actually put our cover somewhere where, like, you know what I'm saying? I wanted
to, like, everyone's going to see it.
Everyone's going to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been going to the East Room since I came back from Carbondale. I went to Southern Illinois University.
Okay, yeah,
so as soon as I was old enough to get in, I was in there, basically. So I think I've been going since about, I want to say about, probably like 2014, 2015. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I've been going there for a while. And I'm like, man, this would be cool to actually have my art in front of there. So basically, Jake Merton, he did the whole thing. He designed it. He was like, what you think? Okay, I'm going to paint it. And then he painted it. And it was basically from his mind to the paper to reality. So we
That's just amazing.
Like a black Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
And are you getting a lot of people who are commenting on that and, like, you know, tweeting at you or hitting you on Instagram? Definitely. Hey, I saw this.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, people just take a picture. Yo, check it out. UG Baby, da-da-da-da. Like, even in passing, I just catch people just stopping and checking it out. You know, even the Flash Tacos. I know you have Flash Tacos.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Flash Tacos, they got a taco truck that posts up right there. Mm-hmm. And I can catch people while they're eating.
They're always there, like overnight. Like,
that's a Flash Taco. Yeah. Both of them are, actually. That's crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So the murals are out there active. Like, with Inferno, is there a date when it's coming out? Because I know you've dropped a couple tracks in the last couple months.
So the date is to be announced, but it's finished. You know what I mean?
Okay, so it is done.
Yeah, it's just, I'm just waiting for the right moment. I'm really busy, like, a lot of times.
Right.
So it's really, like, whenever I feel like the time is right, I'm going to be like, okay, yeah.
Are you thinking before the end of the year, or is it still too early to tell?
Way before the end of the year.
Okay.
I say sometime, like, right before the summer lets up, probably.
Oh, okay, so we're close.
You're close, yeah.
We're close. All right. Yeah. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Anything else you can tell us about that project? Because, you know, we haven't heard a lot of it.
It's
fire.
It's just, yeah, it's fuego. Inferno was basically like, it's just me putting out very hot current music, you know, just giving people different styles of, like, my edgy music, pretty much.
Sure,
That's a creative way to say it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was listening to the newer tracks, like Smoked and stuff, and there's, like, there's definitely an edge to them. And then, like, in person, you just could not be a nicer, more pleasant, you know?
Facts, yeah. See, also, people don't know I'm a nurse. So the thing is, I'm an LPN. So I do everything except for deal with veins. So basically, like, I got to turn, you know.
But if you're doing any kind of medical work where you are interacting with people who are in there, like, you have to have a certain level of, like,
compassion.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Because not everybody can do that work.
Right.
Not everybody has that empathetic
side to them. Not even a patience.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know what I mean? So, because a lot of times it's not the easiest job, but, you know, it is what it is.
Wow, so you're doing, like, you're doing nurse work and music and balancing both of those.
And you still got to be a regular person.
Right. Yeah, and then just have, like, you know, friendships and go to the grocery store and go to the gas station.
We're at 99%, man.
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Emil, what about you? What do you have going on? What's on deck for you this year?
Well, I've been lately working on my next, like, I've been going back and forth whether it's, like, a full length or just an EP, but it's called Good Grief.
Mm-hmm. Good grief.
It's like, it's kind of like a play on, like, the Charlie Brown reference as well. But it's also, like, kind of like, because I really feel like mental health is not, like, something that we address enough in, like, the black community.
And even
now today in our generation, I think we only, like, find out when somebody's going through something at the end of it.
At the end of it.
You know what
I'm saying? Well, yeah, you hear so many stories. And, I mean, of course it gets, it's much larger. It's on a much larger marquee when it's, like, a celebrity commits suicide. And it's obviously very tragic when anyone does that. But every time a celebrity commits suicide, it feels like there's this conversation on Twitter where everyone goes, man, we really got to look out for each other. And then after, like, 2 days, it's kind of like, Trump said this and Kanye said this. And, like, everyone kind of forgets
everything is microwave in this day and age.
It's the
fast
food era.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
exactly what it is.
It's like people care this day, then the next week it's forgotten about.
And that's why, in reference to, like, release dates or, like, just, like, any type of anticipation for your music, I don't think we're even in that era anymore where, like, you kind of got to go off the cuff with a lot of shit.
Right.
Because, like, you pretty much are releasing it when they want it and when they act like they want it.
And when it's the right moment.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
When it's palpable. Like, my whole thing is, like, a successful release date is, like, when you can feel, like, an energy in the city. You know what I mean? When you just know that, like, your name is bubbling, even if it's not in every circle, because you're not making music to be for everybody to be your fan. That's impossible.
Sure.
But it's like, you just want to know that you, like, are moving the culture, even if it's a tad bit. So, like, for me, me talking about something that I feel like is really important without making it, like, a fucking PSA.
Right.
Like, just kind of, like, deal, like, talking my truth with some cool-ass beats behind it. Good grief is, like, really important to me because I think everybody is, like, has those type of, like, thoughts and shit where we have, like, just, like, every day isn't sunny. But, like, how do you take, how do you do with that energy? How do you turn a negative into a positive? Sometimes you can't, but you still should try.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's such a huge topic, and it's so important because you're right. Like, and I think in this kind of social media, Instagram age, it's very easy to think like, oh my God, everybody's doing better than me.
Because we're in an era of perception.
Right, right. And then you feel like, well, shit, if I feel bad, I'm the only one. And obviously that's not true. I think most people are feeling,
everybody's
in a stressful time right
now.
Yeah,
definitely. It's just some people just don't express it, you know? They just, and you shouldn't feel like that. You should always feel like you should express whatever you're going through.
You know how hard it is to like just kind of feel like you're dumping your problems on somebody, though. Like, this is like literally like my brother, my best friend. Like, easily I come to him about my worst shit and my
facts.
Like, at the same time, though, like, it's not easy to just come to somebody about like some shit, especially when they met you. May not want to just slow down how their day is going,
right?
And not that you feel like they wouldn't care, but you want to just be like, you kind of want to assume, especially when you put our age into a fact that we feel like we're too grown to be going through certain shit.
Well, you don't want
to
be a burden. You don't want to be,
at the same time, it's like a closed mouth don't get fed, and like a person like who's in need, who doesn't like speak up, can't get help.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, you know, doing this in Chicago with both of you as Chicago artists, like, how do you feel like the music community is working right now? Because, I mean, it's really easy to be like, oh, we're in a renaissance in Chicago, but like, what goes into each of you connecting with and building in this community, and what works, and then what, you know...
Yeah,
I guess bring us into that experience for you.
So with the Chicago industry, honestly, if I'm being real, I got a lot of help. Like, just coming out, like my first like interest into everything, like I got a lot of help. I want to say my homie Kales, he helped introduce me to, well, I kind of already knew about him, but he helped introduce me to Alex Wiley.
Sure.
And then, Alex Wiley, shout out Alex, that's the homie. And then from there, you know, he was like, yo, this music is dope. Like, I guess they saw what I had as being, you know, good. So they was like, I bet, you know what I mean? Let's start working. Let's try to promote you some. So then from there, I was working with Alex Wiley. Then I met Superboy. Through Alex Wiley.
And I know you worked with him.
Yeah, Super's the homie. So he basically, like, Super helped take me to a different level as well out here. You know what I'm saying? Just introducing me to everybody he knew. And then the thing is, like, the way they did it was so selfless. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't say, like, oh, you got potential, I'm going to hold you back. You know what I mean? Or it's hot, let's not promote you. You know, they were confident in what they had going, and they just helped me out to get me a little
There's a lot of helping hands right now.
Yeah,
it feels
yeah,
like
definitely.
Like, every kind of class, I guess you could call it, where it's like there was like the save money class, then like there's like the pivot crew, and it just feels like, you know, it sounds like there's just so much interconnectivity and so much of people, like you said, reaching out and kind of bringing the next generation into it.
Right. See, with pivot crew, I met Saba, Joe, Mello, John. I met all those guys, like, you know, through my homie Legit. And we were all in a rap group from high school. So it's basically like, it's a very small community. Like, everybody knows each other. You know what I mean? Like, and then we see each other out all the times. Like, if you're going to the popping events, or like say something at Talia Hall, or you know,
or East Room. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I need some sponsors or something. Like, I need East Room sponsors.
Yo, East Room sponsor this podcast. Yeah, that'd be great.
I feel like in like 2012, that was like the real like emergence of like our like Renaissance era, or the beginning of our Renaissance era.
This
Chicago.
Current like let's call it like the post Kanye Chance era.
I would I guess for like that's what you describe to call it. I just look at it as like just like at the era of like the 2012, because at the time you had like obviously it is a post Kanye era where we like are finding our new heroes in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, like he was the biggest thing, and then wave came.
And now so like 2012, like around the time when you had Chief Keef like starting to become a bubbling thing, King Louis's name is like running like back and forth. Even like you had artists like Katie Got Bands, just like artists that were like really like on the forefront of Chicago. This is what people was thinking about.
Yeah, and it was all harder.
But in the background of that, you had like our group at the time, like Breakfast Club. You had like Chance was just like dropping 10 Day. So, and even like Vic Mensa was still with like Kids These Days.
Yeah.
And then you had like Kimbe X and Alex Wiley were in a group called
The Village.
And like Kimbe went to high school with us and stuff. Yeah. Like, so we know Kimbe X since like he was the voice.
And these were all like artists who were getting covered on like Fake Shore, Ruby Hornet, Close Sessions.
Ruby Hornet.
Yeah.
And they back. I know you've seen that,
right? Yeah, they just came back. Yeah.
Even at that time of like that beginning of that 2012, 2013 era, they were also one of the people who had their fingerprints like on like the I had the thumb on, like, the post, you know?
Right.
So at this point now, when you look at, like, where each person became, like, how those artists kind of, like, which trajectories they eventually went into, now you're looking at, like, now that they've created a platform for themselves, now they're able to, like, create that second win, and that's how you have, like, not saying that No Name is, like, a brand new artist, but now she has, like, a platform because, like, she has some... Like, people, like, who came before that also, like,
he... And Saba's really become, like... Right. I mean,
and
his profile has grown so much.
And he's extending that to his brother. Like, each person should, like, each one should teach one. You know what I mean? Or, like, and when we get further than the last person, we should extend back so we can all get that together.
It's better than the past, though, because in the past, it was really bad.
Yeah, like, Chicago is not a supportive environment in the past.
It's a lot... I won't say it's, like... the greatest it can be,
right?
But it is a lot better than it was in the past.
It's too many cooks now, though. It is a lot of cooks now. You know what I mean? Not saying there's never been a lot of slight artists in the world, period, but I feel like it's definitely a lot more than it is people who want to, like, be help artists. Like, I think we're surrounded by more, like, people who want to be in front of the camera than behind. And I
100% agree. Mm-hmm. I've done this podcast for a long time, and it's like, I have a lot of people who over the years have said, like, oh, I want to get involved. I want to help out. I want to intern. I want to produce. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then, like, the second I'm like, all right, well, here's the work that's involved with it. Like, it's this amount of emails.
Nah,
it's this
I don't
amount
like
of
that.
Adobe. And then, like, people drop out. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't misrepresent it. I'm like, I don't know what you thought this is, but it's not us just, like, just hanging out in a boat with, like, Chance the Rapper or whatever. Like, that's not what this is.
Right.
It's mostly a lot of email.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who I think, you're right, like, they see what's going on in, like, East Room, Soho, whatever, and they just think, oh, how do I fast forward to that? And it's like, there's a whole bunch of work, a whole bunch of boring, inch-by-inch hard work that gets you to that point.
Exactly.
Yeah. But not everybody wants to do that work.
Nobody wants to do it, actually.
Nobody wants to do it.
That's because nobody wants to get doors closed in their face. Like, nobody, like, everybody wants to, like, be the person who, like, sells a million cookies, but they ain't trying to, like, go door to door and get told, nah. You
Man, that's a good, that's a good analogy. You're right. But it is, but it's true. Like, you're right. A lot of people think that, like, oh my God, if I got to go door to door. I mean, I'll tell you this, like, with this podcast, speaking of door to door, I do a live version of this podcast, usually in the panel format, where I'll have a panel at Chicago Athletic Hotel in the Loop. It's a super great venue for that. But when my friend Michael and I, my friend Michael Wing, he's a DJ in the group Autograph, but he's also like a content producer and just kind of a, you know, tech producer geek like me.
You're
and
right.
So he and I were like, we want to do something with a hotel. This is like, you know, 5 years ago or so before hotels were like cool, before Soho House, before Virgin.
Right, Virgin. Yeah.
And we literally, no joke, we printed out a one sheet. Top half was like about my stuff. Bottom half was about his work. And we literally went door to door to every hotel in the city.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, is your marketing manager in? And, like, left the one sheet with them. And eventually we started getting some calls. But, like, we literally went door to door. And a bunch of people were like, no, what are you talking about? Why are you bothering us with this? You know?
Yeah.
And nobody wants to, like, do that level of work, let alone even just an email.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's how things happen.
You definitely had the vision, though. So, yeah,
but it was a lot of work, and it was a lot of getting told no.
But I do, like he's saying, I appreciate hearing, like, the grind of your shit, bro, because, like, it pays off to see, like you said, like, the sure shit, bro. That's more than enough to go from, like, being told no to being, like, what can we do?
Yeah, man. And, you know, I just feel like any creative industry victory, it's, like, usually that doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
And it feels really good when you have that thing where someone says yes, and they're like, yes, we're going to make this happen. Let's promote it. Let's do it right. And you're like, oh, my God, thank God. Like, this makes it so worth it, all the people who, like, didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know what? That's kind of like my motto to things now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think I was browsing through social media or whatever.
Porn.
And then, you know. Yeah, I'll put
that. He said, what?
So basically, yeah, like, I was on Pornhub and it was a speech with Denzel Washington.
The inspiration section of Pornhub.
And then he said, never give up. You know what I'm saying? He said, everybody that you see that's somewhere great, they heard a million no's.
Absolutely. You know,
but this is right before the money shot, too.
Right.
This is right before the eBay bust on your face.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, this beginning skit was basically hers, like, no, but then she was like, okay, you know what
I'm saying? Can you imagine how much people would learn if they put, like, coding classes and inspirational classes on Pornhub?
You think I'm going to bust that out, huh?
Can you imagine, like, people would be like, scroll,
bro,
oh, wait, learn Python,
I'm not
maybe.
Gonna, yeah, I ain't going to lie, man, I didn't, like, came across some songs, but I was like, whoa.
This kind of fire.
That had to stop mid-stroke. Like, hey, whoa. Hey. This is, I need to check the comments.
You had to look through the comments. Hey,
what's up? Play that PowerPoint at 3 minutes and 46.
Like, I'm waiting for an artist to build their whole, like, album rollout on Pornhub because, honestly, like, you go where the eyeballs are.
Yo, bro, that's a lot of plays.
They got ads.
And then if it's actually, now, but if it actually go crazy, though, like, that might be a crazy marketing plan.
But, I don't like ads on my, like, pornographic site. So I think I would be any type of marketing I see done, I'm a low-key protest. I ain't going to care.
Nah. We talking about, like, during the beginning, like, when Shorty dancing.
I don't want to.
And then it got your beat playing, then it go crazy.
I'm not going to lie, bro, because that shit gets stuck in my head, bro. And I don't want to trash it. Like, bro, the first time I seen Apple Booty, bro, like, the song that I heard, bro, because first of all, this is my first time seeing a hardcore porno. I had to, like, go low-key, like, still, like, I had to sneak in my brother's room and watch his porn, G. And like,
that's crazy.
I
was, you low key out in your brother though, but
bro,
it's cool.
My brother, grown ass man.
Sorry, your mama don't know that.
Hey, my mama not finna watch this podcast. Oh God, she love me, but she's not finna just go out her way. Power came on. Power did not come on. Shawty, super salty. But yo, all I'm saying is, I was watching this play, bro, and I was just like, first of all, I had only seen softcore, bro. So you know that's like literally no penis. You know what I'm saying? And like, I was like, for sure, I'm Danny. Don't need to see a penis, bro. I'm here for the titties and the ass. Then I seen the first Apple Booty, bro. First of all, the nigga had on all white ones, super clean. First of all, I never even seen that.
And the music was mad vulgar,
bro,
wasn't
Apple
it?
Booty, 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 booty. I was like, yo. This is seventh grade I'm talking about. The fact that years later the song is stuck in my head, I don't want that.
That's effective marketing.
That's true. That is
like,
true.
Like even putting music inside of games, that shit is big.
Well,
too.
Yeah, like Grand Theft Auto, stuff like that. That's
so
like the new radio.
It's right crazy. There, it's a lot of music that I like. I used to play Tony Hawk a lot growing up.
Yeah, all
like,
that stuff
all
was the radio.
Skaters. So it's a lot of music. Like, I wasn't really big on, like, rock and alternative music. But through playing Tony Hawk and then, like, it's
something you're like, oh, shit, maybe I like Blink 182.
It got in my head. I'm like, damn, this shit is kind of cold.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. So it's crazy how.
And I think
shit
it goes
like
both
works.
Ways. I think a lot of rock kids probably were exposed to a lot of hip hop through, like, Grand Theft Auto,
exactly.
Stuff like that.
And Tony
yep.
Hawk as well,
and Tony Hawk, yeah.
What's your favorite Tony Hawk, though?
I think Tony Hawk 3.
I like Underground, bro. Them Underground storylines.
Underground
is
dope.
Yeah, bro.
I played everyone.
The second one with Bam was the most fire because that's when his show was out, too.
Yeah.
That damn near couldn't get no rhythm.
Hey,
than that.
Shout out Bam, man.
Yeah, bro.
And RIP Uncle Vito, man.
And Ryan Dunn. Gone, but never forgot.
So, this has been wild. We have covered a lot of stuff. Where can people find out what's coming up from you? Where can people follow you guys?
I'm not gonna lie to y'all, bro. Me and Yuji, we finna take over the fucking world, bro. We got a whole rock album coming out called Watch Your Fucking Mouth. We got more raps coming out. We got more hot shit. We got funny shit. We got shit that ain't even coming out yet because we can't. We gotta wait 2018, nigga.
All right, so facts. So we do have a rock album though.
Really,
it's alternative though. Yeah. Right, calling it rock. You know, because me and Yuji, like we just said, we get our rock from Tony Hawk. So we ain't known there.
So that's like Tony Hawk inspired rock
Cuddy.
Album.
Yeah, and Cuddy, like we literally have no. We don't understand what genre we be listening to. All we know is it's fire or it's garbage, bro. We be like, yo.
Exactly.
And if it's like, and if we like really, if it's a crazy guitar, we be like, oh, that's some garage punk shit. And if it's smooth, we'll probably call it like some neo shit. We literally have no idea what the sound is, but we know it's a rock shit.
We definitely know that.
And it's fire.
It's definitely,
I can't wait to hear that.
Because it's an amalgamation of like the shit that you usually would hit. Like, it's pretty much our personality just put in a different context. Dude.
Exactly.
Like, and because we like really do appreciate just like other shit. Like, because you can't just listen to rap 24/7.
Sure. Yeah. You can't listen to anything 24/7. Like, it,
yeah.
Well, it, I think it's crazy that people only listen like maybe like one genre.
Yeah.
I remember like, and now granted, when I was in high school, there wasn't Spotify, like, there wasn't really iTunes. So, like, things were a lot more
harder to find.
Even YouTube
wasn't
even
being appreciated
back
then like
that.
But, like, when I was in high school in the late 90s, like, there wasn't YouTube. So,
true.
I remember when I worked at a radio station, I remember, like, bringing home a CD single of Hey Ya.
Mm,
and I remember telling some of my friends who listened to, like, Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails, and stuff like that. I was like, you guys, this song is incredible. And literally, one of them looked at me and they go, I don't know, man. Rap? Because then it was like, either listen to like Marilyn Manson or like Jay-Z.
Shit.
Yo, Hey Ya is like one of the most like easiest PG rap songs you can listen to.
Well, and to be fair, this is like before the, like this is like the pre-release single, so people hadn't heard it yet. But
all I'm saying is like, he had already had Get Up and Get You Some. Like, they already had way more
bombs. Do you know what Hey Ya was about though?
What was it about?
Oh my God. It was about like, he was basically talking about a relationship going south.
South. The entire song. But I didn't catch it. I was like, what the fuck? Because it sounds so chippery.
It's such a party song.
It's that CeeLo Green kind of
It got that, like, you know, that pop ass feel. But then when you actually listen to the lyrics, you like, oh, you're not talking about nothing happy. This is fucked up. Like, you know.
Shout out, hey, y'all.
That is crazy, though, that he brought speaking of, like, rock, though, what you
been? Oh, for the music, though.
Facts.
Yeah.
Follow me on Twitter, Instagram. It's the same, UG_VAVY. Also, I got UGVAVY.com, UGVAVY.com.
And it's a good website. You got all your links there. Everything's real fleshed out.
I try to keep it cohesive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's very clean. When I visited the site today, I was like, this is very well structured.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I can appreciate good web design.
Yeah, because you don't want it all confusing. And,
no, absolutely. You
know,
But yo, reference to Marilyn Manson, though, man, what made me a fan of him besides the beautiful people, like that song, because that was played on a wrestling game. That song's a heater, too. Yeah, that was on like SmackDown.
That and like Hey Ya, those are two songs where it's like, doesn't really matter what genre you like.
Or era they came out any year, it sounded like they did when you first heard it. Right. But yeah, that's what made me fall in love with him, though, as far as like be a fan of his music, was like he did a cover, This Is Halloween.
Yeah.
Off of, like, you know what I'm saying, Nightmare Before Christmas, which is one of my favorite Disney movies.
Yeah, that's true.
And after that, I was like, all right, bro, you're not too bad.
I can fuck with you a little bit.
This nigga was trying to suck his own dick.
Hey, no. He really got real good move.
I'm like, bro.
First of all, he like, fuck you, bitch. I'll do it myself.
He must have had some trash mouth. Oh, matter of fact, look, see, Shorty got too cocky after she sucked his dick. Right. He like, bitch, you think I need you? You really think that?
He said, bitch, I got real good move. You know what? Go home.
You said you knew to this. I lost two for this. I lost two of these bitches. I'm sucking my dick tonight.
Wow, man. We really covered some ground in this interview.
Bro, this is how me and him be in one conversation with each other. It'd be wild, bro.
I will say this. I would be the first person to subscribe to the two of you having your own weekly podcast that comes out recurring. You're not both busy enough, but man,
because he has the shit on lock as far as like having his like all his music going to one.
Sure.
Thing. And like each one is like a variation of who I am. Like on Instagram, it's No Phone Fonz. On Twitter, it's just Fonz. Then on like Facebook, it'd be just like Emil. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's actually the wrong way to say Emil. Nah, I'm not gonna tell him. Except for my Twitter though, because I be on that bitch a lot. That's FNZE. And then on like Instagram is literally No Phone, but phone is spelled with an F, as a play on like Fonz.
Right.
But like, yeah, I've been working on my own podcast as far as like conceptualizing for the last like almost like 2 years. It's called The Chicago Sometimes. And I pretty much just been like, at first I was gonna make that bitch like a 2 hour like talk-a-thon, but then I realized I wanted to like really like deal with more comedy. So I've been like kind of like crunching it down and make it like 30 minutes. Like,
man, I'm for real. In all sincerity, I would be the first person to listen to that and be like, holy shit.
Because
this
is
like,
class,
this
man.
Feels like a backdoor pilot to like your guys' podcast, honestly. More than just like a normal, because normally the Dynasty podcast is like, the first time we have a guest on, usually it's kind of like a pseudo formula, and we're like, we can let it go places, but usually it's like, how did you get your start? Yeah. What are you working on? Like, who are you collaborating with? What are you, you know, what's coming up in the future? Like, you know, where can people find your work? What have you learned? Those are the general tent poles of like, usually when I have an interview with an artist for the first time, sometimes it's their first interview. Sometimes they're a little bit like cold or like, you know, they need the coaxing. So I just try to make it very easy. This was not that. This was just like you being like, so how are we like, anyway, Marilyn Manson and Pornhub. So like, yeah, I would totally listen to this. This is wild. I can't wait to sit down and edit this and just be like, oh my God. Man, UG Baby, Skinny Hendrix, a.k.a. Emil, thank you guys so much for coming up and doing this, man. This was a party.
Bro, I was really excited when he asked me to just tag along, and then, like, bro, yeah. Cool as hell. Like, you inspired me to, like, just want to get my own shower curtain, G. If I can't thank you for anything, bro, the shower curtain that I get with my name on it, you're getting one, bro.
We got the Dynasty Podcast shower curtain here. If
bro,
you ever come.
Fire. Please cop one right
definitely,
now.
Definitely
that's,
fire.
That's all
matter
threadless.
Of fact, bop one, because we bloods here. You know what I'm saying?
No, we not.
Dynastypodcast.threadless.com. You can purchase your own Dynasty Podcast shower curtain. Bedspread, pillows, the whole thing.
DP.
Bed, Bath, and Beyond.
Whoa. Hey, you got the nastiest podcast acronym out, DP. We out here. My nigga, Jaime. Or do they call you Jamie? Which one do you prefer?
It's Jaime. Yeah, it's Spanish. But yeah, everyone calls it Jamie. Both of you, this was incredible. This was a blast. We will do it again. Thank you both so much for coming up, man.
Appreciate it. Funny as hell, bro. Like, facts. Anytime, bro. Especially with the rabbit in the background. That's my spirit animal.
I love it. I can't wait for people to hear this.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts.
Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.